Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
The whole Our Story series, I feel like it's a series of God's faithfulness and God's work in our lives. And I just believe that we all have awesome stories of God's work, you know, in our lives, regardless his miracle works or like his whatever he's saying to you through your praying or reading. And Jesus died to set us free from sin, from addiction, from so many different things, you know, so we can have eternal life and life abundantly. And Anne and I feel the same way, like how we experience God working in our lives. So we're just praising God and for what he has done and what he's doing in our lives. And so I'll let Anne share from now.
All right. I'll take
Hello.
This one. It's go time. Yesterday, Mark and I were having lunch, and he's like, I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to your testimony. And I had this like rush of adrenaline come over me. And you know, we both love adventure sports, and we haven't been able to do any for a while because of COVID and stuff. And it was like, well, this is kind of great, you know, like standing in front of church. I don't speak very often, and so I feel that same rush. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would come and speak through us. And I thought when Mark told me that we were going to be sharing, it was we were going to be sharing, and then somehow it kind of trickled into I'm sharing, but it's an honor. It's an absolute honor to talk about the Lord and what he's done in my life and to reflect back and see his grace and his faithfulness. And that was just a perfect song to sing about who he is, that he's a good, good father, and that he's so faithful. And we've seen that individually, and we've seen that together as newlyweds. So let me make sure I know how to work this thing. You're more familiar. Okay, let's go to the next slide. And the next one. Okay, so this is a picture of me on the top left. That's the family that I was born into. Very American. And I'm in the stroller there. And then we have Mark on the top right there with his three siblings saluting, you know, and I think it's just a miracle the way that the Lord brought us together, and that's stories to tell another time, but it's just we can see him weaving our lives from way before we ever met. I came from a family of two parents who loved Jesus, and they came to know the Lord through campus ministry. And were discipled as college students and just became passionate about him through that. And it just speaks to me how meaningful the call of our church is to reach the campuses, because they came from very messy homes with alcoholism and abuse and cheating, and God just really grabbed hold of them and changed the trajectory of our whole family and generations. And so I just encourage those of you who are involved in reaching out to the campuses, like I'm living proof of how God can take hold of a whole family line and change it. And I was raised knowing that Christ died for me. He loved me. He had a plan for me, and he would never leave me. And I'm very grateful for that foundation, that even though our family was very messy and you know, full of stressors, Christ was our foundation. He was our cornerstone, and my parents lived that out, and they showed me the love of God from a young age. And today, all four of my siblings, I have two older brothers, two younger sisters, we all are walking with the Lord, and it's an incredible gift to be not only blood family, but spiritual family. And my parents are some of my heroes of the faith, as well as my siblings. So that's just the grace of God touching our household. Mark comes from a very different situation. He's the only believer in his extended family. And so it's been amazing to join together and him getting to experience my family and me, you know, us really wanting to reach out and share the love of God in his family. You know, we all hold countless stories in our hearts, countless stories. And as Mark and I were praying of what stories we wanted to share today, we really felt the Lord wanting to focus on healing. And so we're going to talk about just the role of sickness in my life and how the Lord has healed my body and is continuing to do that. I want to start with the verse from Mark 2:17. It says, when Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. And this verse, I think, is beautiful because in it, the Lord illuminates, right, very simply, that he is Lord both of our bodies and our souls, and he is able to heal both our bodies and our souls, the sin in our hearts and the sickness in our bodies. And it reminds me of the paralytic man when his friends brought him before Jesus, and Jesus first said, you know, I forgive you of your sins, and then he said, get up and walk, you know, and how closely the body and the soul can be connected. And in my story, that's very true. Just seeing him come in and enter my heart and save me from my sin, as well as that he died for the sickness. You know, so that he bore our sins on the cross, that we may be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. And so I just want to focus on that today, is both how we need him as and he can show up as Lord of our hearts, and then also healer of our bodies. So before I talk about him as healer, we have to talk about how sickness touched my life. And when I was 9, I was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes, and it didn't run in my family. It totally blindsided us all. And now there's been a lot of progress, but back then it meant that I had to be very regimented with what I ate. I had to eat at certain times. I had to couldn't eat any sugar. Had to go to the doctor all the time. Had to take shots with every meal. Like, it just totally came in and, you know, took over our family in a lot of ways. And it was a very stressful time financially, relationally, practically. And as a third grader, it was like my life just got turned upside down in a day. And I went from kind of gaining more and more freedom to just feeling like, you know, always monitored and always controlled. And my way of dealing with that was trying to become like a mini adult who could do it on my own. And that was kind of a theme throughout my life, doing it on my own, and just kind of gearing up and taking things into my own hands. And that later backfired. That time was not only hard practically, but it was very hard spiritually, because my parents believed in healing, and they were pressing in their faith communities and individually asking God to heal my body and believing for healing. And I don't know to what extent they went, but I do know that healing didn't come. And it was very hard for my father, who had such love for his daughter and wanted to protect me for sickness, but was powerless, you know, and him crying out to the Lord and feeling like, where's the block? Is his faith not strong enough? Is something off, you know? And I think as a child, even, seeds of doubt were planted, because I could sing about how God heals all my sin. I mean, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. And I could hear other people's stories of healing. But I was crying out to God, and he wasn't touching my body. So where is it? And how does he love me if he's not healing my body? And it was just those seeds of doubt. Like, part of me, yes, believed that, proclaimed he's healer, he's the great physician. But my lived experience felt different. and I continued through elementary and middle school just as, you know, high-achieving, athletic, very driven young person. And I was going to church, and I was learning about God through my Bible and in Sunday school. And I didn't have any Christian fellowship in my school. And so I started to kind of get lost in, did I really believe this stuff? Or, is this just, you know, something that my family believed? And in that loss of identity, I really began to sink into a loneliness, kind of like Kevin was talking, just like who am I and where do I fit and who is God? And I began to question things. And as I sunk into that depression and just a lost state, I also fell into anorexia and an eating disorder. And it began with a lot of just control around food and then flipped into secret overeating and binge eating. That just became a trap. Again, I could kind of flip on the Christian card, like, as you know, when I'm with my family, or I could say the right things, but I also could flip it off. And it reminded me a lot of what Jalen shared last week about getting caught in shame and hiding and just being disconnected from the Lord. And from about age... from age 15 is really when that sank in. And I was desperate for God. I was crying out, you know, I was stuck in such darkness. But in one hand, I would be crying out, and in one hand, I would be clinging to these patterns in these destructive ways. I was going to prayer gatherings, you know, faith healers. My parents took me to therapy. I went to individual therapy, group therapy. I was reading all these books, Christian solutions, secular solutions, but I still was trapped. I still was bound. And anyone who knows addiction or has watched somebody else in addiction can know what a tornado it is and what a painful thing it is and how stuck you can feel. Jalen mentioned the verse in Romans 7 last week about how you are doing the things that you don't want to do, and the things you do want to do, you just can't do. And it was just a cycle that continued for a long time. I finally reached a point of desperation where I felt like I was on the brink of suicide. It was, my body was giving up because I had this combination of diabetes and eating disorder is very fatal. And by age 19, I had been to treatment three times. I've been hospitalized three times. My parents had spent thousands of dollars trying to get help from doctors and nutritionists and all this. I got to the point, and I remember being in so much emotional pain that I just wanted out. I remember very vividly one time sitting in my car, and I had this image of a candle in my head. It was just flickering, and I just prayed. I said, God, I feel like the darkness is about to extinguish the light. Help. Like, help. I can't do this anymore. And in that moment, I felt deep in my gut that I was supposed to spend every penny that I had saved and go to a treatment center that I had been to 6 years earlier. I mean, I just knew. It was just like God just shone his light on that next step, and that this was going to be the door to freedom. And I was, he was giving me the willingness, the grace to take that step. And long story short, I spent a year in a small West Texas time healing, and I met the Lord in a fresh way. It was incredibly humbling, incredibly transformative year where he just changed my life. I mean, he came in, and as he was healing me from that addiction, also illuminating the spiritual disease and all the saving I needed on a spiritual level. And we just had a sweet, intimate year of getting to know the Lord and him changing me from the inside out. Wouldn't trade that year for anything. It was, I moved from New York City. All my friends were like climbing the ladder, corporate, you know, career and everything. And I was in treatment in West Texas. But it was the sweetest year of meeting with our Lord and getting to know him and him changing my heart in ways that I could never have imagined. I think this quote might be, yeah, the next slide. So Henry Nouwen is an author that he wrote a book called Wounded Healer, and he talks about how none of us go through this life without wounds, emotional wounds, spiritual wounds, physical wounds, but that how Christ is God's wounded healer, that he died on the cross, and by his wounds we are healed, and that through Christ we too can become wounded healers. He says that when our wounds cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. Thus, ministry can indeed be a witness to the living truth that the wound, which causes us to suffer now, will be revealed to us later as the place where God intimated his new creation. And I am so grateful that that has taken place in my life, where I don't feel the shame about all this. I mean, 10 years of just shame, just darkness and trapped. And that was 12 years ago that that happened. And he has, out of that space, launched, just anointed me to come and bring hope and healing to other people. And from that place, he took me on a career path to become an art therapist, which is what I do professionally now, to bring hope and restoration to others. And I even had the opportunity several years ago to lead an art therapy department in a hospital for teens and adults with eating disorders. And it was like the most amazing privilege to be able to offer hope to those that I knew intimately what they were experiencing and going through, and be on the side of having a message of hope and hope in our Savior and hope in a God that can change any circumstance. That was before I met Mark. So the thing is, though, at that point, I was still diabetic. Like, I was still taking, you know, multiple shots a day. I was still sick, and my pancreas was still not working. And I had come to a point where I was just like, okay, this is just, I'm just going to accept this, you know. Praise God, we have resources to buy the medicine and I can get on with my life. Like, that's just part of what my cross is to bear. Then I met Mark. And Mark came into my life with this tenacious, passionate, unrelenting desire to see full healing in my body. And he didn't have any firsthand experience with chronic disease, and he saw the, thank you, he saw the daily burden on my life, and he wasn't too keen about having that stick around. And he was wanting to press in and to start asking God again for full healing. And I was kind of hesitant because I was like, we've done that. Like, it was a tender spot in my heart of, we've asked and he hasn't given. But we started praying, and I compiled a list of scriptures, which I think we have a slide of that. And we, at the time, we lived in a studio apartment in a little loft, and so we posted the sheet from my journal on our ceiling, and...
Yeah, that bedroom, it's not even a bedroom. It's like, you go to the loft, and then you're like, and you just lay down. The wall is like right here, so we just post that on the wall, on the ceiling.
We didn't know it could get any smaller than that until we hotel quarantined together, and we're... intimacy in the first year of marriage. But so we posted that up, and every night before we go to bed, we would start proclaiming these scriptures, and it was a beautiful experience. It was really hard sometimes because my body didn't line up with what we were proclaiming with our mouths. But we both believe in the power of speaking the word of God and the power that's held in the word of God. And so we kept doing it. He did it a lot. I know, even when I wasn't doing it, he was interceding. So we live by faith and not by sight. And we wanted to raise our eyes up rather than just settle into what the status quo was. And so I also knew from a long time ago that I was going to have fertility issues. Partly it was the anorexia during my developmental years. I had never had a regular cycle. So there's the woman in the Bible who never stops bleeding. I was like the opposite. I needed God to touch my body and restore that whole system. Doctors had told me that I probably would never have children, that my probably would have early ovarian failure. You know, this was just something that I had heard for a long time. And I didn't have a husband, so I wasn't too worried about it. Then Mark came, and, you know, we wanted children. Anyways, the point there is that I had just come to accept, well, maybe we'll have to adopt. You know, like maybe, you know, it just was this kind of settling into acceptance rather than pushing into the word of God, and God is a miracle-working healer. And here on one hand, I had seen that in my mental health and my addiction, but there was something, there was a block in believing that he could physically heal me. So we started praying. We started proclaiming these scriptures. In March of this past year, we started IVF, and we went through our first cycle, and we're standing in hope. We were letting ourselves hope. We were truly believing that God, a miracle-working God, could give us a baby on that first cycle, and he didn't, and it failed. And we experienced deep disappointment in that. And we just were at that point of, well, what do you press in more, or do you just say, okay, you know, it's not going to work? And we were very steady that we were going to keep proclaiming the word of God, and, you know, faith, we live by faith and not by sight. And our IVF clinic closed due to COVID, and so we decided to take a trip back to Maine. Some of you, Kevin mentioned it, but we got married in June 2020, so we were a COVID wedding. None of my family got to come, which worked out just fine, but Mark hadn't met several of my family members. So we went back this summer and had a glorious month with family, just being together, and we put the whole baby thing on the side. And in May, a friend of mine asked me to do a 90-day Bible reading plan with her. And the gist is that if you read for an hour a day, you can journey through the entire Bible in 3 months. And it felt ambitious, but my heart was, like, hungry. It was at a place where, you know, it's not like, oh, I need to be a good Christian, check this box. It was like, no, I'm hungry. I want to spend an hour a day. And God had put that, stirred up that hunger for the word. And I really wanted to be focusing on the healer and knowing the healer and his word and not this healing that we were really longing for. And so I dug in, and I was enjoying that so much. And we put the baby thing on hold, and we went to Maine, and we ate lots of lobster and had a great time, lots of ice cream and all that good stuff. And then our last week in Maine, I started feeling like uncharacteristically like sick. And I felt nudged to go do a pregnancy test, which is weird because logically, no, like, there's no way. Like, doctors, you know, like, there was no way. And this is where God gets every last drop of the glory, is that it was positive. And we came home. Yeah, I think they're mine. praise God. We came home with the best souvenir possible. And we were in shock because literally this was a touch from the miracle-working God. Like, there were doctors were like, okay, so when was your last cycle? Because that's like how you determine the due date. No, we don't know. Like, you're gonna have to measure the baby because we don't know how old it is. Like, you know? And the doctor affirmed, like, yeah, this is a miracle baby, and we're like, yeah, it is. Our God is good. So. The point here is not that God is good because he gives the gifts, or God is good because we wanted this baby and now we have a baby. Like, God gives and God takes away, and his ways are mysterious. Like, you know, we can't found our our love for the Lord or our belief in his goodness on what comes to us. But we have seen his faithfulness. He has been with us every step of the way. And this was just amazing to come home with another testimony of the great physician, the miracle-working God, show up in our life in a way beyond what we ever could have imagined. There's no formula for healing. Working in the field that I do, I see healing processes happen in so many different ways, so many different ways. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's painfully slow, curvy, if only. But it just, God works in so many mysterious ways. But he works, and he can, and he's able. And one phrase that I remember learning in Chinese class, I think the lesson was about like overbearing Asian mothers or something, and it was, "Wo wei ni hao." It's for your good. It's for your good. Like, I'm signing you up in extracurricular activities every day because it's for your good. And I just think of that with God, like, ta wei wo hao. He's really for our good. Like, every step of those ways, I think his presence was with me in every counseling appointment I went to, every time I took a step forward, every time I went back to self-destructive habits. Like, I can see his hand, I can sense his hand and his faithfulness, and his grace upon my life, that I didn't end my life, that he has redeemed and restored and given me a calling that has, beautiful meaning out of all that brokenness. And so Mark and I think our main message is, that there's no formula for healing, but we pressed into his word. We believe in his word. We proclaimed his word. We spoke his word. We cried out to him with the longings of our heart, and we also cried out with just a trusting. We trust you. We trust your timing. We trust your ways and your goodness. When we felt like it emotionally and when we didn't, we tried to stay as best as we could, just steady. He's much more of a rock and a steady man than I am, which I'm incredibly grateful for, just to be in this together. But we very much believe that we want our wounds to be helpful to others, that God can use that to say, if he could do that for me, if he could bring me out of this and touch my body, he can do that for anyone when we come and kneel before him and lift him up. So I think, Mark, you want to close?
Yeah. I think I'll share a little bit about, share a little bit about when we were dating, and then she told me, the fertility thing. And, I want nine children. Like, I want nine kids. I want a
Yankees baseball team.
I want a baseball team. They all better go to the Yankees. And so when she told me that, I was like, okay. And for some reason, I didn't have, I was shocked, but I wasn't, I don't know how to describe it. I just feel like every challenges that we have, it's for God to show up. So, okay. Ketchup and pepper. The first IVF didn't work out. I was like, God, like, why? Like, we started the Bible reading plan, then, start with Genesis. I feel God is saying, give me all the stories of Sarah giving the kids. And I was like, man, I feel like this is us. So when the first cycle didn't work out, I was just sad. I'm like, what is this? But at the same time, like, where can I go? Like, do I believe in God, or do I believe what the doctor said? If I believe in God, he say his promises is never fail. Then I will share my story about that part next month. But so I'm like, where can I go? Like, his words are truth and life. So I have to press in. So we just continue to speak life over each other and over our bodies. And I still believe that she'll be healed, of diabetes. And now we see this miracle baby, and when she told me, took the pregnancy test, when she first told me, I'm like, are you for real? Like, I just cannot comprehend, like, how does this happen? Like, I was happy, and they said, okay, we need to go to the hospital to check your blood. So we checked the blood. I was, like, so nervous. I'm like, this better be right. And the doctor came and was like, congratulations. And we're like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have a baby. And then we're like, okay, so, I mean, this is something I have to, like, confess. Like, man, like, God is so good. And my faith is so little, like, seriously, because I was worried, like, okay, what about the blood test? It doesn't work, like, it's not accurate. So I was like, we got to go see the ultrasound. So we went to Seattle. We went to the ultrasound place, and the doctor was like, I was like, what is that? Like, and then he started telling me, oh, that's the heartbeat of the baby. I'm like, oh, my gosh, we really are having a baby. So anyways, I'm still, like, in this, like, unbelievable phase, like, seeing the picture, and every time I go to see the doctor, like, see the ultrasound, I'm like, God, you're just amazing. Like, you're so good. And, yeah, and I just felt like in the Bible, I just wish they say more about when people get healed, like, get up and walk. I wish I could hear their story. Like, do they have any disbelief or shock or anything? They just walk. And I want to have that faith. Like, when God said, like, you're going to have a son, that's when I asked and he told me that I have a son. And I should have just believed. And this happened, so glory to God. And, yeah. And I feel like what Kevin said last week, anything that God has ever done to us, to you, and to the world, he can do it to you as well. And we feel like, the Bible says freely you have received and freely you give. And we just want to open up this time and be available to pray with you guys. So during the time of worship when Clay leads, if you feel like God is speaking to you, like if you just need a word of encouragement or you really need a prayer, we'll be here and the prayer team will be here to pray for you. So I want to speak a blessing over you guys as we start worship. Yes, of course.
I also want to say that this community was just a powerful piece of this whole journey. When I was struggling, you know, years ago as a teenager, like I told you, my kind of MO was do it alone, you know, go through things alone, don't tell anyone, just kind of, I wanted God to heal me one-on-one so nobody else had to be in the mess. And I just have vivid memories like Bertina and Jalen Leo praying over my womb here and Pastor Hope praying and speaking a word over me back in the back, and Pastor Casey and Pastor Hope praying over us at their dinner table. You know, like, it just was such a collective journey, and I'm so grateful for the family of God that we can choose to walk through things alone, but we don't have to. And if there's anyone that's walking through something alone and just feels like, you know, nobody can know, or, you know, prayer is so powerful, the community is so powerful, and standing together in hope, you know, just stirring each other up and to keep asking, to keep knocking, that the door will be opened. But we need each other, you know, because there's times when we're just weak and we need each other. So that also, just so grateful for the family of God and the role that you guys have played in this miracle being manifest. So.
Okay, one last thing. Forgot to mention this. I'm not selling books. Only have one copy. This is from my talented wife. She wrote this book, so you can borrow it, but please return it to us. It talks about healing and talks about addiction and talks about freedom. So you want to talk about it? No? Okay, you can just come and read it. I just read it last night. It's super good. And I'll just pray. So if you don't mind standing with me, that'll be great. Father God, thank you so much that you're good. I don't know what else to say. You are good. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and minister to each one of us that need healing and prayer. And most importantly, salvation. You died on the cross. You set us free. So for us to have a relationship with you. And I feel this is also an invitation of people who don't know the Lord, do not know what Jesus did for you, if you feel God is calling you and it's calling you, come forward, get prayed for, please. Don't wait until next Sunday. Like, today is the day. How long do you want to wait? How long do you want to wait? Like, today is the day. So God, I ask you pour out your Holy Spirit to touch you, each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.